Good morning, one and all.
Good morning.
Wasn't that a lovely hymn we were singing? Wonderful words of life. And it's my privilege today to bring you wonderful words of life. Not my words, but God's words. And it's my duty when I am presenting God's word to make sure that I am not misrepresenting God. In other words, telling you something that God doesn't actually direct at you. Let me illustrate what I'm saying. If the teacher said to you, go to Miss Monteith and tell her, I want to see her at break time to discuss what we're going to do next year. And off you went to Miss Monteith and said, Mrs. Foster said, Happy Christmas and a bright new year. That's not the message you were given. All too often, you know, people who ought to know better open the Bible, quote a verse, and they say, God says that to you. When in actual fact, if you look at the verse, it's very plain that it's not meant for you. And when I come up here and speak to you, I'm not meant to just say to you nice things, what I think are nice things for you to hear. That's not what I'm commanded to do. I'm commanded to tell you exactly what God says to you. Therefore, I have to make sure that whatever scriptures I'm using, they are for you. You'd all look very funny this morning if, when you got up, Mammy just put her hand into the wardrobe and here said, put that on, put that on. And it turned out what you were putting on was your daddy's jacket or your daddy's trousers or your mammy's dress. You'd all look very funny coming in trailing these things today, wouldn't you? Well, I can't dress you from God's wardrobe with that which is not meant for you. I've got to be very careful. So have all preachers to be. Sadly, not all of them are careful enough. Now we're turning to Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. Matthew 13, verse 54, for we're returning back again to our study. On Tuesday, we were considering a tribute to Mr. George McConnell of Kilkeel, but now we return to our study. What we're looking at is the verse 54 of Matthew 13, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom, and these mighty works? Just listening to the Saviour was enough to convince them that there was something very special about him. We have been considering the fact that the ministry of the Lord Jesus was undoubtedly supernatural. I hope you remember my explaining of the word supernatural. It's that which is above natural. It's above what is ordinary amongst us. And it's undoubted that the ministry of the Lord Jesus was not like the ministry of any other man. His was supernatural. I want you to notice from these words this morning, taking up where we left off, as it were, that what the Saviour said there in the pulpit, if we might use that phrase, when he was in the synagogue, what he said was above anything that the people there had ever heard before. The last time we were looking at this, I stressed to you how wonderful it must have been to have heard the Saviour preach. How wonderful that must have been. The nearest, I think, that we can come to that experience is what takes place in days of revival. Days of revival. When God draws near to a people, to a community, and the preaching of the gospel has about it a power that in ordinary circumstances it doesn't have. Suddenly the preacher is endued with power from on high. And as he speaks, the people are very conscious that God is in the midst. That has been the wonderful privilege of many people throughout the centuries. I would that you might have that privilege. Because you can't imagine what it might be like. You might try to imagine, and I hope that you do, but you never really can picture what it must be like for the Lord Jesus to draw near and to speak with power. Well, that's what was taking place here in the synagogue in Nazareth. And the people knew, we're hearing things that we never heard before, and hearing them spoken with power, like that which we have never experienced before. In a parallel account, that is the same account, but it's given by Luke, in Luke chapter 4, the verse 22, it says, all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. That word gracious sums up the character of what it was the Savior was saying. His words were kind and loving and tender and sweet and good. Oh, boys and girls, what a blessing it is to hear the voice of Jesus. To hear the voice of Jesus. The hymn writer said, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. It's a lovely hymn. We'll have to sing it some morning. Well, there was a sweetness about the Savior's preaching, because the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ is the very fountain of life. It's the fountain of joy and peace and blessing. Out of his words, there comes these blessings, joy, peace, contentment. You'll never know joy, peace, contentment until you drink at the fountain of God's word. That is, until you believe. Until, upon hearing the gospel, you believe the gospel. That's what it means to drink. When mum sets you down a glass of milk, of water, or of something else, it's not until you lift it and drink it that you benefit from it. And that Bible that's on your lap at the moment, and which you turn to and follow as I preach, it's no good to you unless you believe it. Unless you believe it. With that Bible in your hand, you're so near the fountain of life, but it'll do you no good until you drink from it. And when you drink from Christ's words, you will find them utterly satisfying. There is nothing in this world that truly satisfies. You might eat at the table until you can eat no more. And perhaps mum will say, would you like some more? You will say, no, I'm satisfied. But you're not, because in a few hours you'll be back at the table looking for more food. But the words of the Lord Jesus satisfy. Listen to what he says himself. I'm reading from John chapter 4 and the verse 14. John 4, verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Didn't I tell you? The words of the Lord Jesus provide us with that which will satisfy us utterly. Listen to me. It's some 57 years ago that I drank at the fountain of God's word, and it utterly satisfied me. I've never wanted anything else since. It satisfies me. Just like the Savior said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. You see, that's the wonderful thing. When you drink of the word of God, it's not like when you drink of anything out of a glass here on this earth. It soon disappears from your body. But when you drink of the word of God, it forms in you a fountain that's springing up unto everlasting life. And what I drank 57 years ago nearly, it's been springing up in my heart ever since. And I've been drinking of it and being satisfied by it. Oh, boys and girls, that day in Nazareth, the people heard that, the like of which they had never heard before. Then again, the preaching of Christ's word can never be valued too highly. You should always value the preaching of God's word, and pray for those engaged in preaching God's word, and honor any man who strives to bring to you the truth of God, earnestly seeking to present to you the truth of God. That man's to be honored, and you should pray for them. Again, Christ is the source of all wisdom. That fountain of which we have been speaking a moment ago is a fountain of wisdom. The people asked the question in our text, whence hath this man this wisdom? See that, verse 54 of Matthew 13. They recognized that what the Savior said was wisdom. It was wise. Now, the sad thing is this, that the people recognized that what he said was wisdom, but they rejected it. Isn't it a strange and terrible thing that the human being can recognize the benefits, the good, and the preciousness of the gospel, yet turn their back upon it? Have you done that? You wouldn't for a moment say anything ill about the Bible that's sitting on your lap. You would feel fearful of slating that book. But do you believe it? Have you bowed before it in obedience? That's all important. These people said, whence hath this man this wisdom? And yet they turned their back on the wisdom that they heard from the Lord Jesus. The supernatural intelligence of Christ's word was immediately obvious, even to these people who were rejectors. You know, boys and girls, let me tell you, on the day of judgment, there will not be one, not one, who will say to God, you're wrong, you're not just, you're doing me an injustice. Not one. When I was in prison in 1966, and the other times I was in prison too, I met men every day who said, we shouldn't be here, you know. The judge was wrong. The police were wrong. The witnesses against us were wrong. We had been mistreated. Time and time again I've heard that. I remember one man came to me and he said, you know, that I shouldn't be here. I've been done a misjustice. I've been talking to a solicitor who's here in jail. And this solicitor had done wrong and now he was in jail. And this fellow was talking to him, and the solicitor was offering him all sorts of advice, you see, and telling him how he could win his case. And I had to laugh. I said, don't you think it's a bit strange that you should be listening to the advice of a solicitor who's in jail for doing wrong? He couldn't be much of a solicitor if he couldn't keep himself out of jail. And how's he going to get you out? I had a laugh, and always think about that incident and smile to myself. No, on the day of judgment, people will not say God's doing wrong, because they will know that they listened to the wisdom of the gospel and rejected it. They rejected wisdom. And that's why they're now before the judgment bar of God, about to be sentenced to eternal punishment, because they rejected the wisdom of God. The Lord Jesus, in all that he says, is the Word of God. He's the Word of God. How foolish is that people, that person, that nation, that rejects the Bible? That's what's taking place in our country, boys and girls. And it's not only taking place in our country, it's taking place across the world. And you may not just be fully aware of all that's happening in the world, but if you've been listening at all to reports, you will hear that there's terrible trouble in the nation. For a start, there's this COVID disease, which, not that long ago, governments were boasting, our Prime Minister was boasting, and those in Stormont were boasting, we're getting on top of it, we're going to defeat this, and we'll be back to normal in no time at all. But every day brings reports of this virus changing, just altering, and overcoming the measures that are being taken to combat it. And it's just getting that little bit worse. And all the boasting about getting on top of it and defeating it, getting back to normal. I heard an expert the other day saying, oh, it's going to be with us for 10 years. This time last year they were saying that this time now it would be all behind us and we'd have forgotten it. But we haven't forgotten it. There's rioting in quite a few countries. Austria, the Netherlands, Belgium, I think too. Rioting by thousands of people against the police and against the authorities because they had to bring in the old restrictions again and shut down this and shut down that, because the bug has not gone away and it's coming back. with vigor. Oh, boys and girls, how foolish is that people that turn their back on the Bible? They'll pay a big price. I've mentioned COVID, but finances are being hit. Money is being hit. Oh, you don't think about these things. You never think about money. But let me just tell you this. You see those lights up there? They're costing about one-third more to light up. Electricity has gone up in price. You come today to school by car, it costs more to bring you to school today than it did a short time ago. Everything's going up. We're heated here by gas, propane, and it takes an awful lot more to keep you warm because the price has gone up. And it's going up across the world. And I'm saying that is because God has been offended by the rejection of Him and His truth by our nation as well as other nations in the world. I could go on to talk about war. They're bordering on war in Eastern Europe. Every day we read of tens of thousands of Russian soldiers lining up on the borders of a country they say they're about to invade. And if they invade, America said, we'll defend you. Britain has said, we'll come to your help. You don't realize it, but it's so like 1939 again. It's a repeat of it almost. On the other side of the world, China's getting ready to occupy the little island of Taiwan. It says it's our island. And America says, we will defend the people there. We'll come to their aid. To be quite honest, I just wonder what America will do if Russia does what it's apparently planning to do and what China is apparently planning to do. If they both do these things at the same time, what's America going to do? Because they're not able to take on them both. Trouble everywhere. Murder in our country is far, far, far more common than it ever was. Far more common. There was a man and his wife murdered in bed a few days ago. Do you know why? Because they and the neighbour quarrelled about a parking space. That's my place. I can park my car there. No, you can't. That's for my car. And as a result, they were murdered by the one with whom they were having a quarrel about a parking space. I saw a video just yesterday of a little boy. He was beaten to death by a so-called mother and father. And this is a little video of the little boy in his room. Must have been some sort of a night camera that they had. And the little boy was in his room and he was pulling his eider down and trying to get it fixed around him. And as he was pulling it, he said, nobody loves me. Nobody loves me, he said. Nobody will feed me. How heartbreaking is that? That's the world we live in, boys and girls. And it's all because our nation has turned its back on God. Our nation has turned its back on God. Oh, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus is the source of all wisdom and all good. If we obey Him and listen to Him, we will reap a harvest of goodness. I'll close with saying this, that even a child may benefit from the blessed words of Christ. Almost universally, the Bible and what it says is considered a book of such difficulties that only certain learned men can understand it. For centuries, you know, up until the time of the Reformation, nobody was allowed to read the Bible. The Bible was banned. The Roman Catholic Church banned the Bible. They didn't want them to read what was in it. Oh, you couldn't understand it, they said. It's only we wise men can understand it. You'll know these words. They're found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the verse 15. And Paul says to Timothy, the man of God, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And the word child there means a very young child. That's why we have Sunday schools. That's why we see little ones toddling out on the Sabbath morning. To be taught, because God tells us that even children can understand. I've seen little babies when they're only days old, and when they're hungry, and the bottle is brought over to them, over to their wee mouths, away they go. They don't have to have it explained to them. They know. They take it in and begin to suck, and so drink of the food. From a child Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Make thee wise. If you believe the words of wisdom that come from Christ, you will be made wise. Wise unto salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Tell me, boys and girls, have you been made wise? Have you? Have you taken in the Word of God to your heart and become wise? Oh, do it if you haven't done it. You know what you should do. You know that what I'm telling you is right. May God give you grace to obey Him today. If you haven't done that already, let's bow in prayer. We ask thee, Lord, to bless thy word to the boys and girls. I pray your hand will be upon each one of them, and let thy word take hold upon them today. Make an impression upon them today. Bless our school. Oh God, look down on it. Look down on it with tenderness and love and care, and provide for our every need. We ask this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Amen.